Final hour here on this hot Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. We say hello to our friend Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada.
I'm excited. I haven't gotten to talk to Elliot in a while.
You haven't.
I'm excited.
Elliot, how we doing?
There is no way you are excited to talk to me. It is just not possible.
I am. It is. I can confirm. We're excited. Okay. So we were excited. We had a good conversation where we were. We were out at an event yesterday. Predators head coach John Hines came by and sat down with us for probably 30 minutes or so. I asked him about Jeremy Lauzon. Why did you guys feel the need to give him a 4-year deal? Why does he fit your system? We just had Jeremy Lauzon on last hour. So this is where I want to go with you, because I want to get the outsider's perspective, because here locally, from the fan base, it's been met with and I get it. It's a small sample. He played 13 games in the regular season, 3 games in the playoffs, so they didn't see much, but it hasn't been met with awesome, 4 years. What do you make of the deal? Clearly the Predators see something in him they like, because they gave him a 4-year deal. What do you think of it?
Well, I think the thing that I always go with the most is that the Predators know their defensemen, right? Like, your organization has a long history of being able to identify good defensemen and players that can play on their system and on their blue line. So I think if they believe enough to give Lauzon a 4-year deal, I generally would give them a benefit of the doubt on it. Lauzon's a really interesting guy in the sense that it didn't really work out the way everybody hoped in Boston, but there were always a few people who said to me, look, this is a good under-the-radar player, and just because it didn't work out for him in this organization doesn't mean it can't work out for him elsewhere. And I do know that last year, when he was in Seattle, there were some people, again, who I know really liked him, and I don't think Nashville was the only team that was interested in him at the deadline. I think Seattle had a couple of different options there. But Nashville made the deal, and you know, the other thing I think now is that that contract, which is 4x2, it's a good contract for a depth player and a depth defenseman in this league. And I'm sure Nashville is sitting there hoping that maybe he can play a little higher for them. But that's the kind of contract at that level where, especially with the cap tight for the next few years, a team like the Predators is always going to say, if we can lock this guy in and we know the cap isn't really going to be moving for the next couple of seasons, with what we believe in this guy, we'll take that gamble. And I think the Predators are very comfortable making that gamble. Now, I understand why the fans don't go too crazy. It's not the sexiest name. Like, it's not as sexy a name as, say, Kevin Bieksa, who is in the car with me right now. But, Lauzon's a good depth player for your team, and I think you guys really believe in him.
Okay. So yesterday, obviously, we asked John Hines about Philip Forsberg. As tick-tock, tick-tock. We're moving it a little bit closer. There was, I'm sure you've seen the video, he made an appearance on the band stage at CMA Fest, and it was an awkward exchange, not because of Philip, but because of the MCs. But anyway, and we've talked about that all week. So where do you think that is? Where do you think it's going? Has anything changed on your end?
Well, first of all, I think I listened to what Hines had to say with you guys yesterday, and I think for the coach of the team, he sends the right message. Like, that is the message that John Hines has to convey, whether he believes it or not, or whether it's true or not. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying he's lying or anything like that. I'm just saying that I think in that moment, as the coach of the Nashville Predators, that is the message he has to deliver, that he's optimistic that it's going to find a way to turn out. Basically, what I've heard is that it's status quo, I think right to this point, Forsberg knows how the Predators feel, and the Predators know how Forsberg feels. And I really wonder if we're going to need a deadline to sort this out. So I don't want to say to the Predators fans, we might still be grinding away at this for another 3 weeks or so, but it's not impossible that that could be the case. I've had a couple people kind of hint to me that we might need a real deadline to figure out where we're going here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we were throwing around last hour, and I'm going to let Chase ask a specific person, but we were also throwing out there, let's say Forsberg is back in the mix and David Poile wants to also make another splash move. Do you see that being in the cards as well?
Well, he's got some flexibility, right?
Yes.
I know I've said this to you guys a lot, and I'm sure fans who listen on this radio station have heard me say this a lot. I expect David Poile to step up to the mound, to the plate, and he's not looking to hit a dinky single the opposite field. He puts the Aaron Judge bat on his shoulder, and he swings.
Wow.
And okay. For that reason, I'm always expecting him to try to do different things.
Does Kevin agree with that?
He's getting us into the golf course right now.
Oh, nice. Good to know people.
Yes, Kevin's very well connected, I have to say.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. Okay, so I'll ask you the specific name that I threw out there. David Pastrnak. What are the odds that you think Boston moves on from him, knowing their cap situation? Obviously, they have a lot to figure out, new head coach, Bergeron, all those things. But David Pastrnak is somebody that I feel would be a good fit here, even though he's going into the last year of his deal.
Well, I just don't think that David Pastrnak's going to be available unless the Boston Bruins can't sign him. The Boston Bruins and Pastrnak have a meeting scheduled in early July to talk about a contract extension. And I am under the impression that the Boston Bruins are not trading him until they know, for whatever reason, they can't sign him. And their number one goal is to sign him. So I'm not convinced he's even available yet. I think it's been a really challenging time in Boston, and I think they've got some things to sort out. And if you told me some players were uncertain about the direction of the franchise, I would completely believe that. But until they have that meeting and the Bruins discover or indicate that they can't sign them, I don't think there's a reason to believe Pastrnak's going anywhere yet.
Okay. So far, Elliot's shooting down my theory. Well, and that's okay. That's why we like talking to you.
That theory could turn out to be right. It's just not right yet.
So,
and we don't know if it will be right.
So what are some other teams that you would put in the category of they're going to either not be able to re-sign somebody? Like, you know, Colorado is probably not going to be able to keep Burakovsky, Kadri, you know, everybody that they would have to re-sign. But then also the category of teams that they're going to have to make trades because they're up against the cap.
Well, I think Philly. I think Philly is going to be a team to watch. I really do. You know, they're not bringing in John Tortorella because they want to have a quiet start to next season. They're bringing in John Tortorella because they are determined to make a big splash, and they are determined to start next year fast. This is not a team tiptoeing into the waters. So I am really curious to see what Philadelphia is going to do. And I think they're trying to create cap space, and I think they're prepared to make a splash. That's one team I'm really watching. Vancouver, that's another team I'm really watching. They want to clear some cap room. They have a lot of good players who are 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. JT Miller is one. Brock Besser is another. A third is Bo Horvat. What are the futures going to be of those players? I think Miller is going to be an interesting one around the draft, and I think that guy would be a great fit anywhere. It's just that, are you going to trade him without knowing if you can sign him? But Miller would be a guy I think would be really interesting for a team like the Predators. The way he plays, the bulldog he is, I think he'd be a perfect fit with some of your guys. I think I think San Jose is going to be interesting. I think they're going to try to create some room here and there. So I think there's going to be like I think this guy, guys, this has a chance to be a crazy summer. I think there really is an opportunity to have some absolutely wild stuff happen. And I've had people tell me it's not a question of who's available. It's a question of who isn't available.
Okay, you answered a question because I was going to say, do you think this will be an active trade market? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
I believe that, yes.
Yeah, one more on my end. John Tortorella goes to Philadelphia. There's still some jobs open. Bruce Cassidy goes to Vegas. Do you think Barry Trotz is going to coach this year, or do you think he might actually take a year off, even though there are good jobs still open?
I think it's I do think when Barry Trotz was fired, I think there was a good chance that he was going to take the year off, and I think he still potentially might, but it's very difficult, you know, even like. It's very difficult to turn down, I think, all of the offers that he could have. And, you know, the Winnipeg thing is very interesting to me. I think the Jets really are interested in him and really would like to have him. And there is a bit of a romance to that about, you know, Barry Trotz going home and helping the team. And I still think that that's the one, like, I think Philadelphia really wanted him. And to be honest, that's where I thought he was going to end up. But when he passed on the Flyers and he did tell them he wouldn't be going there, that's when I really began to think again, okay, maybe he might be taking this year off, or maybe he potentially joins a team like yours in the front office. But until Winnipeg goes away, I'm not prepared to say it's all over yet.
Is it really true that he was going to have beer for life?
Oh, you guys there?
In Winnipeg? Is that for real?
I think we lost Elliot.
Elliot, you there?
Oh, you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah. I said, is it true that Winnipeg breweries were really offering Barry beer for life?
I don't think he hears us.
Oh.
That's okay.
I don't know. Well,
we'll ask him next week.
Yep. Hit him straight, Elliot.
Yep.
Elliot Friedman. Good stuff from him. Kevin Bieksa in the car with him. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. By the way, during that interview, my gambling insider, Rick, sent me the Superbooks odds for the 2022-23 Stanley Cup champions. Already out.
Okay. Well, let's see how many cup contenders there are, according to the odds makers. Okay.
It's an interesting list.
And wasn't great on the Pastrnak. It seems like, you know, and I understand it.
Yeah, no, I get it too. But a lot can change.
How do you lose him?
Right. Especially if you're in that, you know, no team wants to sit there and go, yeah, we're going to blow it up and rebuild. But, you know,
you can shed and keep.
If Bergeron leaves and retires, you know, Pasta's could be your captain. Like,
yeah,
he's your future.
Right. He's the face.
Yeah. So you build around that.
All right, we'll come back. More on the other side here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game, Nashville app.